GIMP, Apache, Ubuntu, Python. Some strange sounding terms if you're unfamiliar with the free software movement. In these or any economic times, free sure sounds good. But is free software really free? Developer Joseph James Franz helped organize Free and Open Source Software Day in Cleveland. He says you should think of it as free as in free speech rather than free as in free lunch, even though much of free and open source software has no purchase price. And that's an attractive trait in today's business climate. Here are the pros and cons of free and open source software in this podcast with developer Joseph James Franz.
Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show.
All right, today we're speaking with Joseph James Franz. Joseph, you set up an event today where it's Software Freedom Day here in Cleveland 2008. Tell us about Software Freedom Day.
Software Freedom Day is an event that is run internationally around the world. It's a grassroots series of events that each locale plans on its own. So all you do is go sign up to their main website at softwarefreedomday.org and you can run an event. Sometimes they help. They might provide some material. We are running ours about a month later than what they did there, the international one. Typically, it's around September 20th, so we're a little behind schedule. But Software Freedom Day Cleveland is just Cleveland's version of it.
You know, for a lot of people, the word freedom and the words freedom and software don't really go together. We're familiar with software. You go to the store, or you buy it, or you download it or something. You pay some money and all. But open source or free software, how is that different?
You could actually pay for free and open source software. And one of the ways we differentiate it is by stating it's free as in speech rather than, say, free as in lunch. So imagine if every time you wanted to perform a mathematical calculation, you had to pay somebody for that. If every time you wanted to walk on the sidewalk, you had to pay somebody for that. Eventually, that would just wear on you. Free and open source software isn't necessarily, though, just about the paying of it financially, but it's about certain rights. So when you put something in fixed medium, whether it's print, recording, video, you immediately own all rights to that. All rights are reserved, and people can only use that work for purposes that you give them permission for. Well, with the ever-tightening end-user license agreements, they're getting to the point where now if we buy a piece of software, it can only run on one piece of computer in some instances, as an example. And if that computer goes bad, we have to buy another copy of it, which is onerous. It's just ridiculous. With free and open source software, though, you can use it for any purpose that you want. You're not restricted. And the way we accomplish that is by licensing, and we simply say when we write software, hey, you can use this for what you want, but you have to pass that same right to the next guy.
Is there a difference between free and open source?
The difference is one of philosophy. Free software and open source software really are the same concept. That is, you get the source code to software. Source code is what's used to design and write the software. And then a computer program will turn that source code into a program. The free software movement is more thinking of having access to that code as a matter of morality, so that you have a right to this, just as you have a right to free speech, just as you have a right to choose where you live. The open source movement has exactly the same concept, that you can use the software to do what you want to with it, but it's looking at it from a more business perspective. So that way, it's not so much about a morality, it's a matter of practicality. So by using the term free and open source software, we're emphasizing the unification of both of these concepts, which are already unified in the concept that we get the code. Now we have a moral right to it, and it's pragmatic, having and exercising that moral right.
So someone like Richard Stallman and with this GNU project, now, he would be more of the moral and free aspect of that. And some people have taken maybe the Red Hat guys, would they be more an example of
they
the
would
other?
Be, they, Yes. But if you go to the Red Hat site, they're a good example. Novell is a good example. Microsoft is now a good example with their free and open source licenses. You've got the Open Source Initiative. They're the ones who kind of coined the term. Well, I may not be 100% right on that, but I'm pretty sure they're the ones who coined the term open source. Because businesses, when they hear free, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, but a business can understand open source. So it drives right to the heart of what a business is interested in. We understand as business people we have to pay if we want quality products.
Okay, so say I'm a small business person. What would be some of the considerations why I would look at open source software as opposed to the proprietary commercial stuff?
Probably as a small business person, you might have a mixed environment. The advantage to a lot of the open source software, free and open source, that you would be interested in might be Firefox, OpenOffice, a program that I like called FreeMind, which is a mind mapping software program. These programs are easily available. They're free, as in you're not paying money, but they also have a vibrant, large community that is constantly redeveloping and adding parts to these applications. So for instance, let's say you were in a junkyard business and you've downloaded OpenOffice, but it doesn't quite meet your needs, so you make a couple little changes to it, you add some templates. You could give those to someone else who then might give you their templates that they've done for accounting. And you don't even have to know this person because all of this is put into a big ecosystem online. So that's one thing that a business person might look at is the sheer vastness of the software available. It's usually less expensive. Oftentimes, it's more secure. Firefox has been noted to be far more secure currently than Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer, though, is definitely getting up on the security bandwagon.
Yeah, you mentioned those apps, and I think historically we've heard of the whole LAMP, the L-A-M-P, when we think of open source. Tell us what that is.
That is Linux, Apache, MySQL, and then the P could stand for PHP, Python, Perl. Different programmers use different languages. It's simply most of your hosting services. This is where you rent space to put a website online so you don't have to have it on your computer system. We'll use that kind of setup. All of those software programs are free and open source, and they're gratis. So the internet provider doesn't have to pay for the software. They can download it free. A lot of times they'll contribute changes back, as we just mentioned. So that provides you a quick, easy way to get a website up online, and then you've got, if you were, let's take the MySQL aspect of it as a good example, the M part, to have a database system like Oracle can cost you $40,000 per CPU. So if you've got a dual core system, that's $80,000. MySQL, by contrast, is zero, and they make their money by offering support. So you can immediately get in and start using the same types of technologies that very large corporations have spent tens, hundreds, and millions of dollars on with just minor expenses. They're all easily downloadable, so you can test on your system. You can distribute programs you've written in any of these systems to other people.
Well, it seems in some ways it seems like a no-brainer with a looking at total cost of ownership. If Oracle, for example, is so much per CPU and MySQL is, you know, basically free per CPU and you would need training and support for both, what are some of the reasons that people are not more adapting of open source, free and open source software?
Actually, I would say small companies are very adopting. Small companies are picking it up right and left. Most of the internet, most of the websites that you're accessing are on a LAMP platform. Now, we would change that then to like the larger companies. Why haven't they? Why wouldn't a Fortune 500 company use the LAMP stack? Well, up until now, there hasn't been large companies supporting the entire stack. So you've had some supporting Linux. You haven't really had any large company that they could go to for Apache support. Well, now with Sun Microsystems taking over the MySQL AB, purchasing that, they purchased it for $1 billion this past year. Now there's a very large company offering support for MySQL. And companies like Sun Microsystems are offering more and more support for larger Fortune 500 companies. As we see this happen, we'll find that more companies like them will start to use open source and free software more often.
You know, it seems like one of the huge benefits and the reasons that open source software exists is this vibrant community of people who, you know, are giving up their time and interest and skills, and they patch something or they make an upgrade or a new module or whatever. What do they get out of it by working at it?
You mind if I use myself and my company as an example? I work for Advanced Medical Support Systems, and we needed a software application to handle a very niche market that we've got. We are a medical services brokerage, medical equipment, durable medical equipment. So an insurance company calls us if a patient needs a wheelchair or bandages or anything like that, and we get it to them. And none of the software programs for the medical industry quite fit what we were doing. So we wrote an application. That's what I do. We wrote an application for our own needs. Now, some bits of that application are viable for other businesses. For instance, we have a really great task management system. And we're going to be releasing that as a free and open source system to other people, just that bit of it. So what we've gotten out of it is we needed the software anyhow, and we're also releasing it. So a lot of what you'll find is that somebody has a need, they've written the software, and they're releasing it to somebody else. That someone else might improve it and release it back. So then the additional thing that we get out of it is shared code development. So take my task management system for AMSS. We've spent the last year working on that and other parts of this application. If I need another 50 bits to that task management system, I might have to hire developers. If I release it, those 50 bits might just come naturally. So reduced cost from a development perspective is one reason why people will release code to the open source, because then they get that code back enhanced.
Gotcha. I think one of the other concerns that some people have with open source software is support. They know that if they buy, say, Photoshop, for example, in theory they can get to Adobe. But if they download GIMP, you know, who can they pick up the phone and complain to if something's not working?
In fact, that's why so many large companies didn't use free and open source for so long, because of insurance reasons and so on. They need somebody that they can shift the blame to. There are going to be certain applications, when it comes to free and open source, just like when it comes to proprietary, you've been to the store, you purchase software, and later, not too long after, maybe even a day or two after installing it, realize this isn't really what you wanted, so you weren't 100% happy with it, or maybe you were completely dissatisfied. You're going to find the same in free and open source software. There's going to be software that you just don't appreciate or just didn't meet your needs. So the smaller things like, you know, FreeMind is an example that I brought up later. FreeMind doesn't meet your needs. Maybe the developer will enhance it, maybe not, but there's really nobody to complain to, okay? So what is happening in the Cleveland area, we're trying to get developers together on a local level that are willing to support free and open source software. Photoshop versus GIMP is a good example. I'm not a graphic designer, I'm a coder. But you talk to anybody who's a graphic designer, they're using Photoshop. And we've tried to learn GIMP. I run a meetup group, meetup.com, that's all about web stuff. And we've tried to sit down and learn the GIMP, and it just isn't working. You know, it's just, the new version, though, is much improved, don't get me wrong. But it's just too difficult, and there's not enough books out right now to teach it. So occasionally, you're going to go back to the proprietary model. And that's what I do. When I can't find exactly what I need in free and open source, I use proprietary until I can find something that meets my needs. But yeah, definitely send the word out. We're looking for folks. Clevelanders need folks who are willing to support this stuff.
And where's a good place to reach you and get more information about Cleveland's FOSS initiatives?
You could go to webdesign.meetup.com/396. I'm pictured on the left. I'm a dude with long hair and bald. I don't know if you saw it. It's kind of funny, a Halloween thing from a few years ago. But they can click there, email me. They can join the group. It doesn't cost anything. We have presentations, study groups. That is more web-focused, but we're going to be running more events like this, not just the meetup, but other local companies, as you can see listed on our sponsors page. to try to bring this to the fore in our area.
Okay, listeners, be sure to follow the link on this site if you can't remember that, or play back the podcast to get that link. We'll have it linked here for you. Today we've been speaking with Joseph James Frantz, who organized this Software Freedom Day here in Cleveland. And Joseph, to let you go here, even though we have this distinction between free as in speech and free as in beer, you guys did have a free lunch today, so there actually was a free lunch.
The lunch was actually sponsored. We have a bunch of sponsors listed there, and then Pizza Pan in Rocky River donated a part of the lunch and reduced our cost down by about 25%. So,
all right,
what would it cost? $400, $300. Anyway,
so some things are free.
Some things are free, bro.
All right, great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.